There's a lot of things you could do with $50,000. For example, you could maybe buy a lighthouse.
That's right. The federal government is auctioning off lighthouses in Wisconsin and the broader Great Lakes region. So if you've ever dreamed of owning one of what's been romantically called America's castles, well, that time is here.
The Sturgeon Bay Ship Canal Lighthouse was auctioned off earlier this month with a high bid of $48,500. Bob Desch, executive director of the Door County Maritime Museum, is here with us now for this week's edition of Curious Wisconsin to talk about that lighthouse and how other lighthouses are being preserved around the Great Lakes. Bob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, first, tell us about that Sturgeon Bay Lighthouse. What does it look like? Give us a mental picture.
Okay, it's actually the Sturgeon Bay Ship Canal North Pierhead Light. That's a mouthful, but it is a large red steel structure, with a traditional light tower and lantern on one end, and then really just a big square rectangular metal building is the rest of the structure, and it's on the very end of the seawall. That is on the north side of the entrance to the Sturgeon Bay Ship Canal as you come in from Lake Michigan.
And who owns these lighthouses now that we're auctioning them off?
Okay, they're presently were traditionally owned by the Lighthouse Service and then later the United States Coast Guard. And when the Coast Guard then declares a piece of lighthouse property as excess to their needs, then it either goes to the Bureau of Land Management or the General Services Administration, more commonly known as GSA, for disposal.
So tell us about their mission. How crucial were lighthouses like this one to shipping in the Great Lakes?
Oh, at one time they were incredibly important. In the days when the mariner fixed their position on the face of the earth, if you will, if they took a line of bearing from a known object, whether that's a cliff or a lighthouse, they were able to lock in on that object and take a line of position and figure out where they were there in the water. And then they also served, as the pierhead light did, to mark the entrance to a harbor or to mark an obstruction like that seawall. So the mariner, you know, back in the days of sail and even the days of, steam up until we started getting radar and GPS and Loran and some of those other navigational aids, you know, it was the way you got from one place to another safely was to use that lighthouse to know where you were and where the dangers were.
And so presumably since these are being auctioned off, those things you mentioned, GPS and others, have replaced that function. The ships are not relying on these lighthouses now.
That's true. There's still kind of a security blanket, I guess, if you will, and a lot of small boaters probably still use them to kind of generally know where they are when they're piloting in and out of a place. But the days of when a coastwise merchant vessel, you know, traveling up the coast of Lake Michigan would use the lighthouses to know where they were, those days have long passed. Now they glance down at their chart display information system, and they see exactly where their vessel is, you know, based on GPS and the compass and all kinds of other data that's being fit into this, electronic system. So they may look out the window and see the lighthouse and get a little bit of a secure feeling that this thing that they're looking at on the in the wheelhouse is accurate, but the days of relying on the lighthouse to know where they are, they've passed.
So now they're being sold off. What is it like? How do they go through the process of selling a lighthouse?
Well, once the Coast Guard is in the aids of navigation business, and so they maintain a very viable aids of navigation system that contains a whole lot of different things, you know, buoys and range lights and all those kinds of things. And the lighthouses are part of that, obviously. But it's they're not paid to be in the historic preservation business. So from the aids of navigation standpoint, you could do it a lot cheaper with a smaller, more efficient structure. But the light happens to now be in this, this archaic building. So they say, well, we still need the light, but we really don't need the building, and we're not being funded properly to maintain this thing from a historical standpoint. So they declare it excess to their needs. And then it would go either to the Bureau of Land Management or the General Services Administration, depending on, how the property was acquired by the federal government. And then it would go out in the first step under the Lighthouse Preservation Act is that it's offered to other entities of government, either federal government or state and local government, or eligible nonprofits. And then that'll be transferred to those entities basically for free. And there's a very involved process. You put together a very comprehensive package of how you're going to maintain the light and what you're going to do with the light. And then the National Park Service, their history people actually review that and make a decision as to where the thing should go. As an example, you know, there are some of these island lighthouses where they are very sensitive to bird patterns, you know, as far as flight patterns and wildlife and all that kind of thing. And some of them have been actually transferred to, you know, to the Fish and Wildlife Service. Plum Island here off the coast of Door County is one of those places. Or, you know, to a nonprofit who's going to, you know, in the historic preservation business, who's going to maintain it. If nobody takes it in that process, then it goes up for sale, basically. It goes to auction, and any citizen can put a bid in. They declare a minimum bid, and then you know, usually there's multiple bidders, and someone ends up with the lighthouse for that highest bid.
And, Bob, I've kind of buried the lead here. The thing on everyone's mind, I assume, is could you buy a lighthouse and turn it into your house?
You could. There are a lot of restrictions. It is a historic property, so it's governed by a lot of the rules of the Historic Preservation Act. And as well, it's still continuing, you know, to serve a minimal function as a navigation light. So it kind of has to be kept the way it looks on the outside. But you could do. You have more liberty with the inside of that, and you deal with the State Historic Preservation Office, and you could turn it into your house. Several lighthouses have been either sold off or transferred to nonprofits, and they now function as bed and breakfasts. There are other ones that function as private residences somewhere.
So $48,500 doesn't seem like a lot for a lighthouse. I know some in the northeastern part of the country, I think Maine and thereabouts, have gone for, you know, numbers like $1 million. Why not this one?
Well, first of all, it's a big steel box. You know, it was never intended to be lived in. The keepers for this particular lighthouse lived in a house on the shore and got out to the lighthouse on an elevated catwalk. And so it was really an equipment building. It had fog signal equipment in it and other equipment necessary for the light itself. So, you know, it's at a lower price because it never really was a house, right? So if you're going to use it for a house or you're going to use it as a bed and breakfast, those kinds of things, it's got a long way to go to get to that place. The other one is it's on an end of a seawall, and the seawall that it is on is detached from the larger seawall that runs out there. So really it can only be accessed by this elevated causeway. There is no sewer. There is no water. You know, the electrical power that goes out to the light is a cable that's maintained by the Coast Guard. So if you wanted more power out there for other uses, you would have to be able to arrange for that as well. So, you know, the price of the property is lower because of its location. The other thing is it sits on top of a seawall that will continue to be owned by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So whoever has purchased the lighthouse will enter into a separate lease agreement with the Corps for the piece of concrete that is right beneath the light. So so those ones that are selling for pretty big bucks are usually on an island where you are acquiring the property that is around the lighthouse as well. And at one time or another, a lighthouse keeper and his family, her family lived out there. And so, you know, it's more of a house type location, easier to get to by boat and that kind of thing.
So it's a rustic fixer upper, as the real estate agents might say. Do we know what the owner is going to do with it?
We don't know yet. You know, at this point, the General Services Administration typically does not release the name of the buyer. Having seen some of these other properties in other locations around the Great Lakes, eventually the owner sort of reveals themselves, right? The public interest, they will reveal who they are and what their intentions are to do with the light. So I don't know who it is at this point. But you know, as a maritime history guy, you know, glad to see some, you know, going to someone so that someone's going to start taking care of it, because you know the requirement is, you know, you gotta maintain this thing. So that's a good thing. I'll be interested to see you know, what they decide to do with the interior of the light.
Now, you at the Maritime Museum didn't get this lighthouse, but you have another one, I understand.
Correct. Yeah, we've had a relationship with Cana Island Lighthouse, which is up near Bailey's Harbor, for quite some time. You know, really, the Maritime Museum entered into a lease for that property back in the mid '70s. And when it became available through this process, we worked with the County of Door particular county parks for the county to actually acquire that piece of property, and we manage it on behalf of the county. And we're in the midst of a literally multi-million dollar restoration project. The first couple of projects were to acquire some property so we could put a parking lot. So you can imagine acquiring waterfront property near the lighthouse for a parking lot. That was a pretty expensive endeavor all by itself. And then to upgrade the sanitary facilities from porta potties to at least a modern, if there is such a thing, pit toilet. And now we're in the midst of a million dollar plus restoration of the exterior of the lighthouse, with plans to do the interior lighthouse as we can acquire the funds.
And are we going to be able to take a tour of that lighthouse when all this is done?
Oh, absolutely. Kena Island is open for tours right now. Even during this restoration process, we've kept the lighthouse open. And occasionally we have to close the light tower itself, which is unique at Kena Island. You can actually climb the tower into the light tower. Occasionally during this restoration project, we've had to close it for a day or two. But other than that, you know, we've been able to keep it open. And we kind of look at it as, hey, this is a pretty unique opportunity to go see an added exhibit, if you will, as the restoration work goes on. And we actually looked at the big red lighthouse at the end of the pier, the Sturgeon Bay Canal Pierhead Light, and for us, with all that we're doing with Kena Island, it was just a bridge too far for us trying to take on another very expensive restoration project.
Bob, thanks a lot for joining us and painting us a picture of our lighthouses.
Oh, thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Bob Desch. He's executive director of the Door County Maritime Museum, about the sale of lighthouses in Wisconsin and around the Great Lakes region by the federal government. By the way, next week on Curious Wisconsin, we'll meet a cult hero from the state, Wisconsin filmmaker Mark Borchardt.
And Rob, I want to ask you before we go on, would you want to live in a lighthouse?
If you ask, teenage Rob, that would sound really cool. You could do a lot of cool stuff with a lighthouse. Grown-up Rob would think about all the maintenance it would involve and the wind
exactly.
And how much you'd have to insulate. So I think maybe not. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm with you. It sounds kind of cool, though.